In the third part of my conversation with my Dharma friend Lopa Nyodron Wangmo, she explains how to request teachings and make a good connection with a spiritual teacher. Did you know that it's traditional to ask a teacher for instructions on a certain topic? And Lopunla shares why it's good not just to learn from famous teachers like the Dalai Lama, Pema Chodron, and so many others, but also to have a teacher who knows you personally. If you missed parts one or two, you can find links below.
We started our conversation talking about Ngendro, or the foundational practices that are so important in Tibetan Buddhism.
But these are the practices that if you decide you want to do tantric practice or Dzogchen or Mahamudra, any of the more advanced practices in Tibetan Buddhism, these are kind of the practices that you spend usually years with first, and they're incredibly profound. I mean, they're called, you know, introductory practices, but they actually contain I've been taught all the wisdom really of the tradition. So I just want people to understand the richness of that practice.
Yeah. Right on. And Ngendro for me was totally transformational in terms of, I went from just on an ordinary level, I went from being having a lot of anxieties, I said, to having it largely subdued by Ngendro. It was less, way, way less until my final decision not to get wrapped up in anxiety. Let's hope it holds. Depression. I had depression. It's just such a powerful practice if you do it daily or nearly daily in any way whatsoever. And according to any tradition, it just is really changes you. And so if you want transformation, go for Ngendro.
Yeah.
Ngun means before. And dro means go. So it literally means preliminary or go, what goes before. And that means before deity practices, Dzogchen, Mahamudra, etc. Highly recommend Ngendro. But it does require, it does require habit, developing a habit of practice. Mm-hmm. And some people are making decision not to be so distracted by worldly phenomena, and really that this is really the most in your morning. Usually, it's the most important way to spend your morning. There's not something else that's more important than that. And reminding yourself of that when the phone lights up with a text, or all the interesting distractions that we have in our world, the cats jump on your, mat or whatever. Think, what am I doing with this life? What is the point of this life?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And do you have other public programs that people can register for right now?
Right now, I'm
in general these days.
Whatever. Actually, Claire, you do. People need to ask for what they need. This is something that Americans don't really know about Dharma. The Buddha taught when he was asked to teach, and you'll notice that in his discourses that he was answering questions a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. He didn't just say, this is what I think you all need, and set up a Buddha shop, and show movie, to repeat, start preaching on the street corner like a crazy person. It was in context, and
yeah.
It was in dialogue. So everybody with every Dharma teacher, you don't know how it's going to go. So it takes some guts to go up and after maybe a talk or whatever and say, I really don't understand about impermanence. I don't understand what is emptiness. What is wisdom? What are you talking about? So just it's going right, and would you please teach on this? And so you make a little offering. You don't have to be a rich person either. Whatever, you could offer some flowers, you could offer, that money is always appreciated, but of course, I'm not talking about myself, but, there's a traditional silk scarf you use with Tibetan lamas, and you put it in and bow and say, Rinpoche, would you please teach on the blah, 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 whatever it is, or would you give the transmission for, anyway, anything that you want, you ask, and they're like a wish-fulfilling jewel. Generally, they'll do it if they at all have time. You've got to find lamas and lopans that are not so busy, you know, because these big Rinpoches, they have so many responsibilities. They're running monasteries. They're responsible for the financial welfare, the instructional level, all the squabbles that come up in any kind of religious, any kind of institution at all, groups. And they're booked out 2 years ahead of time for what they're going to teach, some of them, you know, the sort of really charismatic ones. So I would recommend finding somebody kind of dull. You know, but people who don't, who aren't that popular. Local is nice if you have somebody in your area who's qualified and good and you connect with. It's nice to have a balance. By all means, follow the great lamas, the great Rinpoches. Mm-hmm. Now they're all online, you know, but if you can have somebody local, eventually you can meet with them in person. Meeting in person is gold compared to this. There's advantages to the online environment, but then they don't see you when you have low blood sugar. So you're making yourself be known to your teacher, you know, and they don't see you when you are looking all around the room.
Yeah.
You know, because you turn off your screen to hide the fact that you're now going to crochet while you're listening to the teaching or have a banana or whatever. And so they don't get you're closeted, you know, effectively from the teacher. And when we can get back to live things, indoor or outdoor, that would be great. So I hope to do things. I've moved out to the rural California. I hope to do things outdoors. I'm setting up spaces so that we can do things outdoors or semi-outdoors in the future. I'm just launching into a program on some more advanced topics right now. And then depending on if new people come along, we can start over with the foundational practices. And for me, everything up to the foundational practices is on my YouTube channel. So I don't need to go over and over the introductory material again and again. And also in the truth, beginners really aren't interested, you know, so much. It takes a certain kind of eye developed through some background to really know what you're looking for.
Yeah, very true.
We have wonderful people. So it's not just me in the sense, I do speak in the we voice a lot, even though I'm the only... I'm not the only teacher. I'm soon to be not the only teacher, but I'm the main teacher, because we're bringing in on these internet things this peer feeling, and you'll meet people there. You can meet older practitioners who've been doing it for 30 years, and you can meet somebody who's only just started their Nundro yesterday, all together in one group sometimes. So how I go with what the topics are depends on the wishes of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love hearing that. It's so traditional, but also just so like responsive. That's something I've really appreciated about my teachers, just their willingness to, you know, share their time and their expertise and their wisdom with like open hands. So I do just want to give you a shout out, though. I mean, you're somebody I admire your work online. Obviously, there's a link to the YouTube channel in the info box. And I just feel this sense of trust with what you're presenting, with your lineage. And I feel super confident recommending, you know, your YouTube channel, but also, you know, the teachings that you offer for anyone who's maybe wanted to connect with a teacher. And we're online right now anyway, so you might as well, you know, check out someone who's going to have a group small enough that you can get individual attention.
Yeah. We can't put the genie back in the bottle of the internet. Now everything's got to be webcast. And so even if we start resuming, you know, hybrid things, events, where that's the way it's got to be. But there's sometimes, Claire, you know, where it's intimate and personal. For example, the gateway to Vajrayana is the empowerment ceremony. Mm-hmm. And, this is important. You can't do Vajrayana without having received empowerment. So if you want to learn about a specific practice, you have to receive the empowerment. That's in our tradition so far, no one has done that online. And so it wouldn't be, and rarely webcast. I'm talking about in my Jujim Tirasar tradition. And so because half of there's material substances that are imbibed and so forth, touched to the body and so forth, which are part of the juju of the the magic, transformational magic of the empowerment ceremony. Actually, that's what I'm teaching on, is the four empowerments coming up for the next few months, starting in February. So it's meaningful to be there in person, and there wouldn't be our lineage leaders don't do it any other way. So there will be times when the camera is off for special events like that, and then you have to hustle and go, maybe buy an airline ticket, some not for me, but for some important person, go to his place and physically be there when it's safe and time is right, obviously.
Yeah, an excellent point. There's what you can do online, and there's what you need to be in person for. And there are some llamas online. I've received like online wongs and initiations that can be really powerful. So again, like a new frontier there, but it's so nice to be able to do it in person. So hopefully that'll become safer and easier before too long.
Yeah. You know, I have to follow the ways of my lineage. So
yeah,
I'm speaking like a traditionalist, and I am. I care very much about following the ways that my teachers did things. And also we have a lineage head and so forth now, the role models, what he thinks is important. So.
Well, that's the point of being a bridge, right? You can't just like change where the end goes.
Yeah, exactly.
To be consistent.
And I want to put a plug in here for respecting the Tibetan people and the traditions that came down through Tibet, because there's a feeling of wanting to immediately Americanize things. And when you really don't, at a point, a stage in your development where you really haven't even, you really don't know what's important and what's not important. And also kind of superiority, it can be kind of a white, it's hard to put a word on it. It's not, there's not a... like our ways are better kind of thing, you know, we can do this better. And that's very dangerous. It borders on racism, and it's disrespectful. So the way of respecting teacher, the lineage is integral to, I believe, to Buddhism in general, and not a lot of people don't, but it's also integral, it's very integral to Tibetan Buddhism. So if we're not going to jump over our Lama Tarchin and Lama Pema Dorje and go back to Guru Rinpoche and then interpret Guru Rinpoche our own way, or go way back to Shakyamuni Buddha and say Shakyamuni Buddha is my teacher. It's not that that's bad, but it's not the way I roll. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not. It's a little bit questionable for me about whether you are, how you're regarding Asian people in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's part of what rubs me the wrong way sometimes about, well, I don't want to point any fingers, but sometimes like secular Buddhism or secular mindfulness, there's like almost an effort to distance themselves from Asian traditions that I think is very, I think of it honestly as kind of epistemological. Like we have science, we know better than they did back then.
Yeah.
Often back then also corresponds to over there, which is, I think, not...
Well, I have a master's degree in nursing science, mm-hmm. and I appreciate science, but Dharma is not a branch of science.
Right.
Science can be used to illustrate Dharma points beautifully, you know. So it's just, see, sometimes people get things backwards, but, you know, here we're treading on thin ice, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're far less... The traditional Buddhism is far less popular among... Americans, adjustingly.
Yeah.
Then that. So.
Yeah. It's more of an acquired taste, I guess. But I think for those of us who have the connection to the tradition, there's not really a substitute for like the Dharma.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has turned out to be like so much richer than just the few questions I thought I had in mind. So thank you so much for your time. I mean, for this call, obviously, but also just the time that you give your students and that you give everybody on YouTube. And I hope this will be a good introduction to who you are and especially for people who are in that Northern California
region.
You're both online and local. So that's hopefully a good resource for folks.
That'd be great. You know, and I'm just also happy to point people in a different direction. If they contact me and they were looking and they explain what they're looking for, it's not what I offer. I know the good llamas. Some of them.
Yes.
I don't say I know all the good llamas, but I know some of them, and I send you to what you need. So feel free to reach out, people.
A curated list of llamas. That is really a valuable thing to offer.
That's a little bit that's a little bit beyond. But I can say, you know, I've had a good experience with it because you get to know them over time, and you know who has a good reputation, and you know whose conduct is exemplary, and as well their knowledge and practice is exemplary. Yeah. Not just one, not just study, not just practice.
Yeah. And the recommendation of someone with experience is a great place to start if you're looking for a llama or a teacher to follow.
You want to check out older practitioners, senior students, not just of them, but of other people, and ask them for the real lowdown on those teachers, because it's not going to be obvious, especially if someone's charismatic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, the number of good teachers is way more than the number of bad teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to our next conversation about refuge and how you become a Buddhist.
All righty.
I'll probably cut it there, but this has been, we've already run over an hour, so I want to respect your time and maybe
why don't we do another one on the refuge thing? I was filling around this, unfortunately, because this app can only be in a vertical position with my with my iPad. And you have to plug it in on the bottom when you want to charge it, so it's going to lose its charge any second.
Oh, no.
my friend Julie here, come on over here.
Hi, Julie.
You might want to connect because Julie runs the Transitional Life Care Group, TLC, in the Bay Area. And they specialize on Buddhist approaches to death and dying.
Oh, wow.
And they do many, many programs online. So
she's been our program.
They're going to have Joan Halifax Roshi come on, and they have great llamas come on, Tibetan llamas.
Oh, wow.
And so you should look them up, I'd say, because you might have a lot in common.
It sounds like exactly what I'm interested in.
Oh, wonderful. You know, I really, really enjoyed listening to that. It was a really good interview.
Thank you.
You were both.
I just
articulate.
Thank you. I feel like all I had to do was ask a question and then sit back and, you know, let Yudrun just like
blather on. Yeah, it's
well, that's not what I was going to say.
Good fit. Very good fit. Yeah, check us out. We're at tlcserves.org.
Yeah, and what's your website, Claire?
Sorry, I can't really multitask. this is embarrassing, but my website is just because I couldn't think of a good name.
Okay. I'll pass it on.
What is it?
ClaireVillareal.com.
Claire.
Is that how you say it properly, your last name? Villareal?
Villareal.
Villareal.
I've heard many variations.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I know a Villareal.